No one else has a word. The book of Ephesians, chapter number 5, and then also John chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter 5, and also John's Gospel chapter number 2. I love to hear those pages turning. Listen. Oh, it gives the devil a nervous breakdown right there. He'll have to have treatment this evening. He said, Lord, have mercy. That bunch of RBTs flipping the pages of that King James Bible. That means they're going to know something that they didn't know. They're going to hear something they maybe haven't heard. And it's going to get into their life and their heart. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 5. If you stand there in reference to the reading of the scripture. Ephesians chapter number 5. Verse number 18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now if you'll notice, of course, all verse 18, 19, 20, and 21 is one sentence. It starts at verse 18, but it doesn't end with a period till verse 21. So all of that is one continuous thought of the effects of being filled with the Spirit of God. And without a doubt, it's the greatest need in the church. It's the greatest need in my life. It's the greatest need in every Christian. And it's a daily need, a consistent need of being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I ask you in Jesus' name that you'll help us today, Lord, to preach, be filled with the Spirit of God, be sensitive, Lord, to the Holy Ghost. Lord, thank you for what you have done thus far. Lord, I thank you for the witness of the Spirit that I have sensed in the meeting today. And Lord, I know that comes by grace. But Lord, I want to thank you for those that met here last evening to pray. And hopefully there were a number of people at their homes praying around that 8 o'clock hour. And Lord, I believe that's why we're seeing you do what you're doing, is because folk are praying. And Lord, we'll never have from your hand what you want to give until we pray. Because you said, ask and you shall receive. James, the epistle of James said, we have not because we ask not. I pray, dear Lord, that you'll make big and make real and make personal the message, God, that we've been trying to labor on now for a few weeks. And Lord, we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In John chapter 2 is where we'll be bringing the main part of the message, in John chapter number 2. So if you'll have your Bibles open there, please. And we'll be in there in just a moment. And the reason we're making the parallel, as most of you know, between Ephesians 5:18 and John chapter number 2 is because of what is said in verse number 7, where the Bible says in verse number 7, of course you know the story, it's very familiar to you. It's a miracle of the turning of the water into wine at the marriage of Cana, the very first miracle of Christ's earthly ministry. And here we find in verse number, let us read the first few verses here. There's nothing I could say that would improve on the Word of God. Verse 1, and the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. That's seven words right there that everybody ought to put into your life. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there six water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. And Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. Now keep in mind, those water pots, what they were used for, is told in verse 6, they were used for the purifying of the Jews. These water pots and the water from those water pots was used to wash people's hands and feet. So I had to say that it wasn't sanitary, wouldn't you? I wouldn't want to drink nothing out of that. But Jesus said to them, fill those water pots with water. Sometimes when God tells you to do something, it's not going to make a lick of sense. Amen. You cannot explain a miracle. A miracle rises above science. A miracle rises above the natural. It rises above the earthly. It rises above the human. And it is a divine act of God that defies laws of nature even. And here he said, fill those water pots with water, and they fill them to the brim. Verse 8, and he saith unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth the good wine, and when men hath well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Now the reason we're making the connection between Ephesians 5:18 and this passage is verse number 7. Two times the exact same word is used in verse 7 that is used in Ephesians 5:18. 5:18 of Ephesians, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be what? Filled with the Spirit. Verse 7 of John 2, and Jesus saith unto them, here's the same exact word, fill the water pots with water, and here it is again, and they filled them up to the brim. So in light of the fact that the same word is used in both passages, we can look into Ephesians chapter number 5, or excuse me, John chapter 2, and we can see what God has in mind for us when he's telling us to be filled with the Spirit. When he told them to fill those water pots, and they filled them to the brim, and the outcome of that. And so we're preaching on being filled with the Spirit. And Lord willing, this will be the conclusion of that if the Lord will help us. But it's all right with me if he wants to move and expand and extend that. That'll be certainly his prerogative to do that. But I'm looking at this, and here's some of the things that we've already noticed. First of all, just by way of refreshment to us and so you that are visiting with us, we found in verse number 3, first thing that we notice is there it must be a craving of being filled. You must be missing something. You must realize your lack. And the Bible said, and when they wanted wine. God will never fill anybody the Holy Spirit that doesn't have a craving to do so. God will never fill anybody the Holy Spirit that doesn't have a craving in their heart that is motivated by what you don't have, by what you've run out of, by your lack. And if anything ought to motivate us, inspire us to want to be filled with the Spirit, is when we look around and consider our lack. When we consider what we're not able to accomplish for the Lord because we're not filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. And so we looked at that in verse number 3. And then we noticed also there's a command to being filled. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Verse number 5. Verse 7, Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots. And there's no parentheses that says if it's convenient or if you like it or if it feels good. No, no. God said to do it. God gives us a command. And right here's his commands. Us being filled with the Spirit of God really hinges on our response to the commands of God. You can't ignore the commands of God and be filled with the Spirit. You can't choose and pick. Okay, I'll obey this one, but I'll not obey that one. Sift through and take what you want and discard what you don't want. You'll never be, I'll never be, none of us will ever be filled with the Spirit if the commandments of God are not meaningful to us. And then thirdly, we noticed in this passage, another message, we talked about the compliance of being filled. He didn't just tell them what to do, but the Bible says they did it. Verse 7, they filled them up to the brim. So they complied. They were obedient. And I'm without a doubt, obedience is the greatest Christian attribute, in my opinion. There's nothing you can have from the hand of God if there's disobedience. Probably disobedience is the greatest sin. You say, preacher, is it greater than murder? Or greater than, and of course many could name some big sins or it's been classified as such. But you look back in the Garden of Eden, what did the devil talk Eve and them into doing with the commandment of God? I mean, they didn't even have a full Bible. They just had don't eat of it. They just had a one-verse Bible, so to speak. And they didn't even keep it. They failed on that. Why? The serpent connivingly talked Eve into being disobedient to the Word of God, the commandment of God. So there's the compliance that we dealt with. How important it is for us to be obedient to the Lord. Number four, we talked about the completeness of being filled. Verse number seven. The Bible said for them to fill the water pots. And notice this added description. The Bible said, and they filled them up to the brim. What does that mean? They took what Jesus said as far as they could take it. He said, fill the water pots, and they made sure that they didn't stop short of what Jesus said. They filled them up to the brim. And then verse number eight, deals with our next thought that we preached part of last Sunday, and that is the commission of being filled. Look at verse number 8. And he saith unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast, and look at their obedience, and they bear it. And they bear it. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine what it took for them to dip into them buckets and get some and take it to the governor of the feast? Take it to the head waiter, take to those officials there. Can you imagine dipping out of a pot that had been used for purifying of the Jews, and now you're fixing to give it to the big officials present? You're fixing to give that to them to drink? That took faith, didn't it? That took faith that meant, God, you've changed this. This is not what it was, but it's different now. You've changed it. Amen. And you've made it fit to drink out of. And I'm getting ahead of myself right there just a little bit, but I can't hardly wait to get on the last point. But this is the commission. What good is it if, and those water pots represents our life. What good is it if the water pots of your life is filled in obedience to God, but it's contained there, never gets outside your life, never gets outside the four walls of this church? What good is that if those around us never get a drink of what Jesus can do? So there's a commission here to the servants to draw it out and to bear it. To draw it out and bear it. And they did that. So there's a commission involved in this. And can I say this? You being filled with the Spirit is not just for you. Oh yeah. Listen, of course we know that wine in the Bible is a type of joy, and typology is a type of joy. And there were six water pots, and they were filled to the brim, and all of it had been transformed from water to wine. Not fermented, mind you, amen. I know those little sippers and social drinkers wants to try to soothe their conscience by saying Jesus made fermented wine. Do you think he's going to sin against himself? You think he's going to reprimand that and rebuke that and have the word of God against strong drink and then turn around and make it? Hello? I'll say amen to myself. That one, that's fruit of the vine. That's grape juice, if you will. He turned it into that. You say, I don't believe that. Well, that's why you don't get blessed. You don't believe nothing. You try to twist the Bible to make it fit your lifestyle. Hello? Amen. That's right. Well, we're not going to get on that, but here's the thing. It's not just for me. Thank God I can enjoy a full life. I can enjoy being filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. But God doesn't want it to stay on the inside. In fact, in John chapter number 7, the Bible said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living waters. This spake he of the Spirit. What does that tell us? That tells us that God's design is that what he puts in you flow through you to other people. You ought not to want to go to heaven without influencing somebody else's life. Amen. And by the way, you're influencing somebody whether it's good or bad. You're influencing somebody whether it's for Jesus or for the devil or for the world. I'd hate to know that I stood between somebody and getting saved. I'd hate to know that somebody would use my life, amen, as an excuse for not getting saved. Amen. I don't believe any saved person, really true saved person, will want to conduct themselves, behave themselves in manner and in public, private, in any way that would cause you to be a stumbling block to other people. And I guarantee you this is so, and you can agree with it or not. There's multitudes of people in hell right as I speak because they had their eyes fixed on hypocrites and those, my friend, that claim the name but remain the same, never were changed, and live in a world of lie. And sinners see that, and they have no confidence in that. They have no confidence in that. But anyway, there is the commission that's involved. He said, draw it out. I want what you're filled with to get out to other people. Amen. If you're not filled with the Spirit, likely you're not going to have a whole lot to it that other people even want. Can anybody look at your life and see that you're filled with something that they want, that they need in their own life? And I want to deal with this on the commission part. If it doesn't matter to you what Jesus wants to do through you or through your pots, then it probably won't matter to you what you put in your pots. But when it's important to you of what Jesus wants to do through you for other people, then it will matter to you what you're putting in your pots, what you are allowing in the pots of your life. That's right. Amen. But God, listen, I want you to get that. I don't know if you got that. Those that don't matter about what's going on in their life, they're putting carnality in their pots. They're putting flesh in their pot. Hey, are you listening? Those people really don't, it don't matter to them whether or not Jesus uses them. It doesn't matter to them, those around them that are thirsty and need something to drink. That don't matter to them. But if it matters to you about those around you getting a drink of what Jesus can do, then it's going to matter to you what you put in your pot, what you allow in the pots of your life. Amen. Show me a person that's more interested in being carnal and fleshly and worldly. I'll show you somebody that really don't care about other people. You know the real foundation of sin? You know what it is? Selfishness. Selfishness. Amen. A sinful life is fueled by selfishness. That is, I don't care what it's doing to other people. It doesn't matter about them. Sin is all about the middle letter of sin is I. Amen. That's right. And so I want you to be concerned about what God can do through you. How many in you, don't raise your hand, but I wonder how many in here is really content with what God is doing through you. I wonder how long it's been since you prayed for God to do something through you. That ought to be something we pray about often. But God will never do anything through you until He first does something in you. The in working of God always precedes and prepares you for the outworking of God. And I've preached that here. In fact, I've preached a lot of stuff here. But this thought of the commission has to do with other people, with getting to them what's in your pots, getting to them what you probably, no doubt, have tasted yourself. And so there is the commission that's involved with this miracle right here. In fact, you remember we dealt with it, that if you're disobedient and you don't fill the water pots with water, and the water is a type of the Word of God, it's talking about filling your life with the Word of God, filling your life with the Scripture, amen, and the Spirit of God will turn that and transform that water into the joy of serving God and the effectiveness on other people. That's right. So being filled with the Spirit of God really is about service. A lot of people wants to have the filling of the Spirit just so they can have a filling of the Spirit. They want the F-I-L-L-I-N-G part. They don't want that. Or if they want that, it's only for the F-E-E-L-I-N-G part. They want the goosebump and the chill, and they want the feelings that go with it. And thank God there are some feelings that go with it. There is joy that comes with being filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you're sad and defeated and discouraged and all of that, that's a sure sign this morning that you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. So let me say this too. It's worth noting. How many water pots were there? How many were there? We just read it. Six water pots. What's six in Bible numerology? In number of man. Six water pots. Six in the Bible is the number of man, right? It's amazing that Jesus said, I want six water pots. I want them filled with water. I want them to be filled with water. Why? So that you can bear that out and take it to mankind. Amen. When you get saved, God's work doesn't stop with you. He is not just interested in saving you. He wants to use your life. Amen. And I've said this before. I'm very disturbed at what I'm seeing in churches today where people claim to be saved and they never progress on into any kind of service for the Lord. They don't progress on. How many prays, Lord, what will you have me to do? I wonder how many in here has really got serious about, Lord, what's your will for my life? Amen. I mean, is the will of God important to you? Well, no, really, preacher, it's not. It's just about what I want, and that's my plans, and I'm ordering my life, and I'm in the driver's seat of my life. Well, first of all, that sounds like a lost person to me. That sounds like a lost person to me. And remember, I read to you Ephesians 5:18 a while ago, did I not? Do you remember what verse 17 says? The verse preceding verse 18? Well, that's deep, isn't it? Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And then the next verse says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Did you know being filled with the Spirit of God is not an option? It is not optional. God's saying that the only way that I can accomplish my will and my work through you is that you be filled with the Spirit of God. And so the devil knows that too, and probably that's the reason he makes it. He really, really, really tries to talk us into a carnal, half-hearted life is so that he knows we won't be effective. He knows we won't be effective. Amen. Being filled with the Spirit of God is for power and service. You remember the passage classically illustrates that in Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost. You know what the grand theme of that was? You know what the grand theme of the day of Pentecost was? God filling His people, 120 in the upper room, filling those people with the Spirit of God, and as a result, the 12 different nationalities that were present was able to get the gospel in power, and there was 3,000 saved. What's the outcome? What is the purpose of being filled with the Spirit? So that we can hoop and holler and shout and run the aisles and jump pews? That may be a part of it, but that's not the main purpose. The main purpose for God filling us with the Spirit of God is to make us effective in the area of evangelism. Amen. That's good preaching right there. That's right. The cause of Christ suffers when we're not filled with the Spirit. There's sinners in hell that never came in contact with a Spirit-filled Christian. Now here's something I'm going to deal with right now that I originally planned on dealing with a little bit later. How many in here, by your actions, really believe that the Holy Spirit can work independent of a Christian? Come on now, be careful before you answer that. The Spirit of God is where in this dispensation? Where is He? He's in the believer, right? He's in every believer, and that's where He's at. That is His abode. In fact, Paul said that your body is the temple, the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. So if the Holy Spirit is in me and I'm His dwelling place, I am His tabernacle, I am His place of abode, then He's not out there in the trees, He's not out there in the clouds. Amen. Now think about this, Brother Silas. If the Spirit of God is in me, and He is in everybody that's saved, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not saved, according to Romans 8 and verse 9. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Do you have the Holy Spirit in you this morning? If you don't have the Holy Spirit in you, you're not saved. But listen, God wants us to be filled with the Spirit that has to do with service. Being filled with the Spirit of God, come on now, doesn't have a thing to do with me being saved. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit has to do with me being saved. Because if I'm not indwelled by the Spirit, I'm not saved, right? Me being filled with the Spirit of God is not for salvation, it's for service. It's so that, listen, God wants me to be the transportation of the Holy Spirit. When I'm filled with the Spirit of God, amen, and my water pot is filled to the brim, and there's a flow of the rivers of living waters coming out of me, then everywhere I go, the Spirit of God is affecting people and influencing people and touching people's lives. But if I'm not filled with the Spirit, I can walk right by sinners and they not ever think about nothing to do with God. Are you listening? 3,000 people were saved because 120 people had a 10-day prayer meeting. Luke 24, Jesus told them to go to Jerusalem and tarry there till they be what? Endued with power from on high. And they were obedient. They went to Jerusalem. They got in the upper room. Jesus didn't tell them to get in an upper room. He just told them to go to Jerusalem. He didn't tell them to pray 10 days. They just thought, you know what? God's fixing to do something big. God's fixing to do something big. God's fixing to birth the church. Amen. And it's big. We need to spend 10 days praying here. Amen. Yeah, we want to be filled with the Spirit of God with no prayer life. Not only did it say that they were filled with the Spirit, and the preceding preparation of that, Brother Phillips, was that they were in one mind and one accord. We want to be filled with the Spirit of God and hate our brothers. We wonder why we're not filled with the Spirit of God when there's division in the house of God. You can't be filled with the Spirit of God and see thousands of people get saved when you fuss and fight and kick and scratch and knock others down. Amen. It's amen right there. That's right. Hello, amen. That's right. In most churches, listen, they're not in one mind and one accord. They're split and splintered and divided, and this one don't like that one, and this one don't like this one. They're talking about this one and that one until we come to church. Then it's, how are you doing, Miss Gayden? I've just been talking about you like a dog last night, but how are you doing? Though Miss Caden didn't know that was talking about her like a dog in the illustration only. There's someone that does know it. And that someone is the Holy Ghost that's in charge of power in your life and in our church. Amen. There ought to be so much power in here, according to Psalms chapter number 1. There ought to be so much power in this place, power of God, that sinners cannot stand in the congregation of the righteous. There ought to be so much conviction in here and the sweet Holy Ghost doing His work that sinners will be feeling compelled either to get saved or to have to depart and leave because they're so uncomfortable. But now, Brother Brad, we can come and join and sing our songs and teach our classes and have our little service and our little sermonette to Christianettes and their bassinets, amen. And lost people can come up and shake our hand and say, "Whoa, man, I tell you, I enjoyed that." A lost person saying they enjoyed what was preached, they enjoyed the choir, they enjoyed. There ought to be conviction. We need power. Amen. There's a commission involved in being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Amen, that's right. The question I want to ask before I move on this next point is, do you have anything in your life? Or do you have anything in your pots, the pots of your life, that Jesus can transform into something supernatural? If you'll do what Jesus says, He will do what He says. But let me move on. Number 6, verse number 8 also shows us another aspect of being filled with the Spirit. And I'll just hit this one because I want to get on the last one if I can. And verse number 8 talks about there is the consumption of being filled. Verse 8. And he saith unto them, draw out now and bear it to the governor of the feast, and they bear it. Look at verse 9. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted, what does that mean? He took it from the out what was outside of him to becoming inside of him. The Bible said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. I'll tell you this crowd of agnostics and atheists that spend their whole life fighting against God and denying God and saying it's just imaginary and fiction and we're just a bunch of dreamers. Amen. That prayer answers is nothing more than coincidence. You know, and all of that. They spend their life denying God. Hey, I want to tell you one thing about it. And I had a fellow to write me another letter this week about that. He said, or last week rather. He said, you people that go to church, he said, all you do, everything you embrace is, and he put it in all capital letters, is just faith only. Just empty faith. Just, I choose to believe that God created the worlds and God, you know, performed the miracles and, you know, you just choose to believe that. It's just old empty faith. Oh, brother. There's an avenue about real spiritual faith that involves experience. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Brother Rob, it's not that we just sit back and say, well, I choose to just, you know, just have a little faith that I believe that there's a God. And no, we've experienced Him. Amen. I know what happened on Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago, though I was not there. I know what happened 3 days after that on the morning of resurrection morning. I know what happened. The tomb is empty. I wasn't there, but I know what happened. I know who's seated at the right hand of the Father. I know who's on the throne. I know who's coming back. Why? Because I have tasted. Amen. I have ingested. I have experienced. Amen. It's not just religion, Brother Silas. It's not just, amen, going through a little ritual. No, we are people that have and are experiencing God. Amen. Amen, that's right. Well, hallelujah. There's the consumption of being filled. You know everything that you can put in your mouth is not good for you? Amen. Can we get a witness there? Amen. Not everything that you can put in your mouth is good for you. There's people that don't even know where they were last night because they filled their mouth with Bud Dummer and Miller Lowlife. Amen. They put pills in their mouth and they put pot in their mouth and drugs in their mouth and other things in their mouth. A lot of things you can put in your mouth that's not good for you. But I want to tell you what one thing you can ingest in you that will be just right. Amen. And His name is Jesus. Oh yeah, praise God. Have you ever experienced the Lord? Have you ever experienced the Lord? I wonder about it with a lot of people. I wonder about it a lot of times. I've seen services even here. God moved through here thick as, I mean, like a fog come through this place and with His presence and people sitting around like. Huh? Not everybody. I want to tell you, if I were you, I would be highly upset. I would be highly curious of what's wrong with me if I cannot experience God. The night I got saved, buddy, nobody had to take me into a class and set me down for weeks of Bible study to tell me what happened to me. I knew before I ever got up out of that altar, thank God, my life of sin was over. I knew that I'd met Jesus. I knew that I'd met Him. Why? Because I experienced God. Brother Brad, some people asked me, said, why didn't you ever go back to that dance floor and the bar stool and the gyp joint and all that stuff? Why didn't you ever go back to that old lifestyle? I said, why would I? I finally, after 20 years, I finally found out and finally found the real deal. I found the one that really can do what He says. You know, the devil lied to me for 20 years. Come with me and drink this and smoke this and take this and do this and go here and you'll have pleasure and you'll have fulfillment and you'll have contentment and you'll have peace. But the thing of it was, I did everything he told me to do and I never found peace. I never found joy. But when I got saved that night 35 years ago in an old-fashioned altar, then and there, and since then, I've been experiencing God. That is what keeps me going. God is real to me. And that's not imaginary. That's not fiction. I've not psyched myself up to believe that. There's an inner working of reality and revelation that God puts in everybody that gets saved. Well, glory. Others want to taste what you have. What do you have in your life that you're filled with? And by the way, you're probably going to be filled with something. You're probably going to be filled with something. But can others taste what you're filled with? And I want to deal with this last thing real quickly. Number seven, I want to talk about, in closing, if the Lord will help me to get this, I want to talk about the compliments of being filled. Verse number 9, when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew. There's that. Yeah, we know something. We're not hoping, wishing, and wondering. Hey, we know. We know what's going on. The servants knew. And then the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and saith unto him in verse 10, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men hath well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. You see that? There's a compliment being given here. I've never seen anybody ever in church that ever got filled with the Spirit of God that said, this tastes bad. But I tell you what will happen when you get filled, that initial feeling of the Holy Spirit of God, you won't be happy till you're back there again and again and again. And again, if you ever get under the spout where the glory runs out, you'll never be satisfied until you're back there again and again. Amen. I'm glad I know what it's all about. And I don't ever forget it. Amen. I don't ever want to forget. But there's the compliment that's involved in this passage. They complimented. You know, notice here quickly, they weren't bragging on the servants. The evidence or the results of being filled with the Spirit of God will not speak of himself, the Scripture said. Jesus said that about the Holy Spirit. Be leery of this crowd that's all they ever talk about. It's Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Amen. The Holy Spirit never speaks of himself. The Holy Spirit brings attention to Jesus. Jesus said he will glorify me when he has come. You show me that crowd that's all about Jesus and I'll show you there's where the Holy Spirit's working. It's all about him. Amen. Oh, yeah. And so the servants wasn't bragged on. And guess what? Nobody bragged on the pots. My goodness, no wonder this tastes like this. Look at those pots. Nobody bragged on the servants. Nobody bragged on the pots. Nobody bragged on Mary. Oh, wow, what about that? Nobody was bragging on Mary. Nobody was bragging on the disciples that was with Jesus. You know where the glory went? The glory went to Jesus. Verse number 11, this beginning of miracles did Jesus Cana of Galilee and what? Manifested forth his glory. Why should we want to be filled with the Spirit of God? It's so Jesus will get all of the attention, all of the glory and the praise. Now watch this right here, verse number 9. What if that governor would have said, now this don't make sense. And that's basically what he was saying in verse 9, or verse 10. This don't make sense. This is not traditional. And most time, if you're interested in being filled with the Spirit of God, you better not be interested in traditions. He's saying this is not traditional. Originally, you know, traditionally, you know, they put out the best and then bring out the worst later. But he said that's not so here. You brought the worst out first, and now this is the best. He said this is the best. You know why? It's what Jesus could do. What was worse that was brought out before was what man can do. Amen. Jesus and what he can do far exceeds what man can do. And what if that governor of the feast and those officials said to those servants, now wait a minute, wait just a minute. Tell me what the deal is right here. Tell me what the deal is right here of what's going on, amen? Tell us what's happening right here. He said, well, here's what happened. And was able to go behind the scenes and tell about the transforming power of Jesus Christ. And they could have said this. They could have said, you know what? These pots represent us. This is the way we used to be. We used to be nothing more than just old, ordinary pots that was filled with uncleanness until Jesus came along, took authority in our life and spoke a word for us to fill our life with the Word of God. Amen. God is saying, I'm interested in what I can get put in those pots. I can transform that into wine or into joy. And those servants could have give testimony. Hey, listen, let me testify what Jesus can do. What you're drinking, what you've tasted, what you've complimented, what you've praised right here. I just want you to know man didn't do that. I want you to know God did that. Amen. Oh, people look at sometimes, and I have people, and I give God the glory, honestly, I do. I have people sometimes that tell me, I said, Preacher Ackley, you're my hero. I have people tell me that occasionally. I don't know if they're drunk or whatever, but they tell me, they say, Preacher, you're one of my heroes. Some of them I wouldn't know, I've never met before, but they say, Preacher, you're one of my heroes. I want to say, wait just a minute. Let me just tell you, there was a time where I wasn't nothing but just an old unclean pot. I wasn't nothing but just somebody, something repulsive, sitting over on the side. Nobody was interested in, amen. Let me tell you a day that came in my life, January 20th, 1981, when Jesus Christ took charge of my life. And he started changing what was going in the pots and started changing what was coming out of the pots of my life. Can I testify of the transforming power of Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. Amen. There was a compliment. There was a compliment. They tasted it. The Bible said there they had tasted it in verse number 9. Have you ever tasted? Have you ever experienced? Have you ever ingested in you what God can do for your life? Amen. Listen to this verse right here. It's come to my mind. Hebrews chapter 6. You know what God says about us that are saved? Listen, you know what God says about us? We have tasted, let me make sure I've got it right, that we have tasted of the heavenly gift and we're made partakers of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We've tasted of the powers of the world to come. Amen. We've tasted eternity. We've tasted, amen. Heaven's not going to be any surprise. Come on now. Heaven won't be a surprise to you if you're born again because you've already been experiencing heaven on the way to heaven. That's a spirit-filled life. Amen. You say, you got scripture? Well, I do, but I don't have time to preach it. In the book of Deuteronomy, you know what the definition given of Canaan? It's a type of the spirit-filled life. Canaan's a type of the spirit-filled life, right? And you know what the Bible describes in the book of Deuteronomy that Canaan is? It's as days of heaven upon the earth. Heaven ought not to be a surprise to us, Brother Fultz. The Spirit of God, who is the, oh come on Preacher Ackley. The Spirit of God is the earnest of our inheritance. Earnest means what? Down payment, promise, pledge, guarantee. In other words, when I got saved, God took the Holy Spirit who brought a chunk of heaven with him, amen, a contact and connection with heaven with him and put it in my soul. And now I'm already citizens of heaven right now, amen. Right now, amen, I already have heaven's life. Oh yeah, I've already been given eternal life and you have been saved. Guess what? That's the life I'm going to have 10 million years from today. I already have heaven's life. Amen. I know heaven's Lord. My name's in heaven. I'm a citizen of heaven. Why can't I already be enjoying heaven? I can enjoy it on the way. Amen. Thank God the Holy Ghost, buddy, can give us little little to go to heaven on. Amen. You can go to heaven with a little heaven in your soul. Amen. That songwriter had it right. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Hey, don't sing that if it ain't so. Amen. Heaven came down, brother. Son, I'm telling you, when I got saved that night, the devil packed his bags and moved out, and God the Holy Ghost moved in. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Yes, amen. There's a compliment. I've been for 35 years bragging about how good it is to be saved. I can't put it into words. I can't describe it. Sometimes I get so overwhelmed. I think I'm going to die and go to heaven in this. Have you ever been there? I know I'm hesitant sometimes to preaching about experiences, but I wanted to ask you, have you ever experienced God? We know we're saved. You know that knowledge is not a claim, just a claim, empty knowledge. It's an experiential knowledge. I know I'm saved because I've experienced God and do experience God. I was there when it happened. I was there when I got physically born. I was, Brother Silas, I was there when that happened, but I don't remember nothing about it. All I know about my first birth, you know, somebody else told me about it. But now I was there, fully alert, when I got born again, 20 years old. I was fully alert of what was going on. I didn't know how big it was, and I'm still finding out how big it was. Amen. I didn't know all that was going to transpire. I didn't have a clue where I was going to be, if I was going to be in Rogersville preaching the gospel or even preaching the gospel. I had no idea. All I knew was that the load of sin, buddy, was smothering me. And I'm telling you, I knew that there had to be something better to life than that old routine round and round life of sin. Oh, when I got saved, hallelujah. I keep looking over there because that's where it was at Middle Fort Baptist Church in right outside of Rosman, North Carolina, a little old small. Brother Carroll, y'all know where it's at, a little small community called Middle Fort Community. On the left, on the right-hand side of the church in an altar. I still remember. I'm having flashbacks. I may run. I remember quick, easily, I was about fourth or fifth pew right here. And I was sitting on the end, next to the end. On the second night of what ended up being a 7-week revival. And the Holy Ghost, buddy, hung me out over hell. And I knew, buddy, all I had was my name on a church roll. And I had a godly heritage. But I did not have God. That I was lost. And listen, this is true as it gets. Nobody but saved people, really saved people, are going to heaven. That's all. That's the only ones, friend. You say, preach, that's awful dogmatic. That's awful narrow-minded. Hey, I'm going to tell you how narrow-minded I am. Right here it is. That's how narrow-minded we ought to be right there. As wide as that book right there. Amen? But there's the compliments that got involved. When's the last time you complimented the Lord and there was praise that went to Him because you had tasted? Reckon those, I don't know, it don't say it. It don't say it. But the Bible said that those servants knew. They knew what had went on behind the scenes. Do you think possibly, now just think, you know how we are about curiosity. Come on. You know how we are about curiosity. Here those servants are. I don't know how many there were of them. And they got their pots and their whatever they drew it out with, and they're bearing it. You think that they was going along? Man. Stick their finger in it. You think they took a taste of it? You won't be too excited to hand out and pass out and tell others about what you yourself don't even know what it is and what it tastes like. Hey, we ought to be able to testify and say, you know what? I've tasted and I know this is the real deal. This better than anything man can put on the table. Man puts out the best and then it gets worse. Come on, listen now. We'll be done here in a second. If you're interested in sin, if you're interested in a life of sin, let you in on the pattern of sin. It's the best up front, But then it gets worse the further you go with it. It's downhill with sin. The further you go, the worse it gets. Amen. Can y'all listen to that? Hey, I'm telling you, some of you are headed down that path and won't even listen to the preacher this morning. Hey, you're headed down that path. It's getting worse. You're getting worse. You're falling. You're getting more and more further and further away. And the preacher's preaching Bible truth this morning, trying to help you, and you're not even interested. Of course, I know that's not being stated to everybody. Amen. But it's a bad sign, friend, when the Spirit of God is directing the preacher to help you and to try to turn you and try to show you that you think sin is all this great stuff. No, it's not great. It's destructive. Look at that Bible. There, from Genesis to Revelation, sin always has left a course of debris and destruction and devastation and bruises and injury and regret. It's the best up front. The devil talked Eve into that and said, oh, it's going to be good for the taste. It's going to be good for the food. It's going to be good, Eve. You can't wait to get it. And boy, when she got it, it was downhill after that, buddy. Lost the presence of God. Cain, her oldest son, killed Abel, her other son. Murder got in the home, killed them. Are y'all listening? And it's been nothing but a trail of devastation, destruction, and regret ever since then. But on the other hand, thank God, there's another line coming through the Old Testament too. And it's called the seed line of faith. Amen. Go back there and start following that seed line through. And follow it through the Old Testament in the New Testament and see what you see. You see people serving God and God moving and blessing and using their lives. Amen. There's the compliment of it. Boy, it'd be great if we could be filled with the Spirit of God. We give God the glory and the praise. Amen. The Spirit-filled life brings attention to Jesus. And here's the point that I want to close with, and I've already talked about that. If we don't obey God, fill the water pots with water, the Word of God. If we don't obey God, there'll be no miracles. There'll be no miracles. Jesus doesn't have anything to work with. He won't turn water into wine because we've been disobedient. Well, I hope we understand how serious our disobedience is. Our willful, and by the way, disobedience is never accidental. Disobedience is always with knowledge. And when we disobey God and don't do what He says, we cancel the miracle that is targeting other people to where they can say, you know what? What Jesus can do is far better than what man can do. Let's all stand to our feet. Father, we come in Jesus' name this morning. Lord, I've tried my best to be obedient to you and be sensitive to you this morning and preach what you told me to. And Lord, I ask you this morning that you would help us to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Lord, I have no desire whatsoever, Lord, to go out into a life of sin, to go back where I used to be and what I used to be. I have no desire because I've tasted, Lord, of what you can do, that supernatural transforming power of Christ. I know what you can do. And Lord, I want to thank you that songwriter had it right when they wrote down that chorus, sweeter gets the journey every day. And serving Jesus really pays. I get happy in this heavenly way. Sweeter gets the journey every day. Lord, I want to thank you for what you did for me 35 years ago. But Lord, I want to thank you for what you're doing now. I want to thank you, Lord, for every time that you allowed me along the way here in the States and other countries. Lord, along the way, Lord, you allowed me to just dip in, Lord, and get some and get in the pulpit and share it with people. And I want to thank you for those times, Lord, that some have gotten a taste and said, oh, I want Jesus. I want what he can do. And they get saved by the grace of God. Lord, have your way in this morning's service, Lord. May these altars be filled with those that would say, Lord, I want to be filled with the Spirit of God fresh and anew. Some needs to maybe get in an altar and say, Lord, I've never been filled. Lord, I know I'm saved, but I've never been filled. I've never really been interested. I've never really heard it preached about the importance and how crucial it is for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Lord, I want you this morning to fill me. I want you to fill me, the Holy Spirit. I want to be empty. I want to do what I need to do to give Jesus something to transform in my life for other people to get a taste. And the result of that is Jesus is magnified and bragged on, and that you can manifest your glory. Lord, I want you to get the glory in my life. I want you to get the glory at RBT. I want you to get the glory through every ministry here. I want you to get the glory when people get a taste of what you've done. Lord, even behind the scenes for us, Lord, they could get a taste and say, wow, wow, that's better than anything sin's ever given me. That's better than anything the devil has ever given me. That's better than anything the world has ever given me. Wow, oh, that's great. That peace is great. That joy is great. I've never tasted nothing like this in my life. Oh, how wonderful, how wonderful it is. Lord, there may be some here today that's lost without God, and they have no clue what I'm talking about this morning, because they've never firsthand, personally, tasted of what Jesus can do for them in their life. And Lord, may they come this morning and say, oh, I'm tired of sin. I'm tired of the wickedness of sin. I want to get saved this morning by the good grace of God. And Lord, I believe you'll save anybody that wants to be saved this morning, that's willing to be saved, that's willing to be changed, that's willing to be transformed from what they were to what you can make them to be. And Lord, what you can make us to be far exceeds what we were originally. And I thank you for that. Oh yes, Lord, I thank you. Have your way this morning. Maybe somebody's lost their joy. They've lost their joy. May they come back and realize, may they realize that, Lord, you turn water into wine. You turn water into joy. And the water is the Word of God. May they need to pick that Bible back up again and make it a vital part of their life. I pray you do that, Lord. Have your way in this invitation now. In Jesus' name, we pray, heads bowed, eyes closed.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.